One other thing you should keep in mind. Nothing at all to do with the case.
What's that?
Your future. I'd like you to work for Bremer Associates.
Me?
That's why I had you taken on a VIP tour. We're a growing organization. You can see that. It'd be a valuable piece of manpower for us.
Boy, you really know how to toss a curve.
No, no, I don't mean it that way. I'm quite serious. You're a good man, Columbo. Up here. It's time you were thinking about advancement. What does a lieutenant make? If you come with us, I'm almost positive I can triple your yearly income.
Boy, I tell you, it's all so sudden. Let me talk it over with my wife.
Of course, talk it over with your wife. Think about it. Think about it carefully. But remember, we want you here.
Listen, I'm very flattered. I mean that. Just let me mull it over a little bit.
Well, have I succeeded in getting through... in stimulating you?
Definitely. Yes, sir. Yes, I'm going to give it all a lot of thought.
That's as much as I can ask.
One thing.
Mm-hmm.
If I came with you, would I still be working on the Kennicott case?
Well, let's see. I have men who are perfectly capable of handling the Kennicott case. No. I have several other matters that are far more important than that. I'd like to put you on right away. Lieutenant, to the knock of opportunity.
Welcome back to License to Spiel. I'm Carl Wonders.
And I'm Pat Hake.
And today we're going to continue our trek through the first season of Columbo with the second episode of season one, Death Lends a Hand.
And as I recall, this was the episode where you realized I was watching Columbo.
Yes.
The first time I started watching it, because I tweeted out commenting about the green shag carpet in this episode.
Yes, it is very prominent, actually. Yeah, this is the second episode, but it was actually the first episode that they shot. And then they realized that they liked the other episode, Murder by the Book, a little bit better.
I do too.
Yeah. So when they came to release it, they flip-flopped it a bit. And I can see a little bit of Columbo still not quite being Columbo, I guess, in this one at times.
Mm, yeah, I can see that.
His way of getting to the end of the episode is a little questionable, I think, in terms of ethics.
Potato in the tailpipe?
Yeah. This is also the first episode to star Robert Culp as the murderer. He will come back three more times, twice as the murderer and once as some kind of bit part in the ABC revival.
And as we were talking before recording, Robert Culp is not related to actor Stephen Culp.
He is not. Although, according to IMDb, they share much similarity or something, which
as far as I can tell, the only similarity they have is that they're both white men.
Yes. Of course, we'll remember that Robert Culp had a very memorable cameo appearance in Spy Hard.
I try not to remember anything from Spy Hard.
That is wise. So this is an episode with Robert Culp plays he runs a private investigation firm of some sort that is he is contracted by a very rich man who owns newspapers to look into his wife. So we first meet him. His name is Investigator Bremer, which he is one of two murderers who we never hear the first name of. Mm. He's just Inspector Bremer is all we know about him. He's never given a first name. So that's a little bit of trivia for you.
Yeah, he's got his own slick plan in place here where he tells the newspaper guy that his wife's not cheating on him while his wife listens in on the intercom. And then he goes to the wife. He's like, well, I lied for you, so now you have to give me secrets.
Which is something that I could see happening.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I have to wonder if this office is a redress of Lee Grant's office from that one episode, only without all the green furniture in it.
Yeah, it kind of looks similar.
But yeah, I think it's a clever setup that he is sort of blackmailing his wife in a way that makes sense. And I think I could see this happening in real life where you would say, well, you now owe me and you're compromised and you're going to wrap me up. Because again, her husband owns newspapers and she has access to a lot of information. Her husband is played by Ray Milland, who will show up again later in a subsequent episode as a murderer. He also is a murderer in a Hitchcock movie that I think has a lot of Columbo DNA in it, called Dial M for Murder.
Oh, okay. I've heard of that one, but have not seen it.
Predates this show, but it's also an inverted detective story where you see the murder happen and you know what the plot is and everything, and then another detective shows up and unravels everything. Maybe we'll do that at some point if we ever finish Columbo, but and we want to do other whodunits or whatever. But yeah, so he's blackmailing the wife, but she tells him no. She shuts him down. He goes back to his beach house, which has the amazing green shag carpeting in it.
Which you wouldn't think you'd want at a beach house.
Not in a beach house.
You're going to attract sand in that, and it's never coming out.
Yeah. She breaks into his house. Well, I guess she doesn't break in because she says the door was unlocked.
Yeah. And she says, no, she's not going to. So he, I think it is pretty clear he didn't intend to kill her.
No, he hits her and she falls and hits her head on the table or something.
Yeah.
And he has to do a lot of quick thinking, which is where we get that very interesting shot of him cleaning up the murder and dealing with the aftermath of everything, reflected in his glasses for about 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's a fascinating stylistic decision. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how well it works or not, but it's certainly interesting.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen it done in any other film or TV show. It sort of is a way of doing that that split screen stuff that they did a lot of in the 70s, where you would have, you know, the frame would be broken up and you'd have multiple things happening at the same time. Mm-hmm. You were just talking about Ocean's 13. They do that a lot as a kind of a callback to that style in that movie. We were talking about Ocean's 13 earlier for other reasons.
Yeah. Long story short about Ocean's 13, probably don't buy the 4K Blu-ray. It looks like crap. So then he drives the body to the construction site with our friendly astigmatism headlights again.
Yes. He wipes down our bag, dumps the body at the site, and then leaves. And apparently Columbo is the only detective on the force.
Yeah. There's a scene that I'm not quite sure why it's there. Why do we have the scene where the cop pulls over Columbo and then gives him an escort to the crime scene? What benefit does this scene give us?
Yeah, I don't know. I do know that originally it was supposed to be that Columbo was driving with an expired license and Peter Falk objected because he said that Columbo's a bit absent-minded, but he wouldn't ever drive with an expired license. So they made him, he made them change.
To right. Him and saying, that's so your we license get that is expiring scene the soon. DMV later.
Correct.
But you wouldn't pull someone over for having an expired license. So no. I guess it is. Yeah. So that's why there it's because of the expired license.
It has to set up. It has to set up his trip to the DMV, which sets up a clue later.
Now I understand. Yeah. Still feels weird. Also wild to hear him say that this is the second time he's been pulled over today for having a broken blinker.
Mm-hmm.
That is insane. Can you imagine that?
Twice in one day?
Or even once?
Or once for having a broken... Yeah. Not in DC anyway.
Well, no, because no one's going to know if your blinker's broken because half the people out there never use them anyway.
Exactly. Yeah.
I do appreciate that he is driving what is very much a beater.
Yes, his Peugeot here, which Peter Falk also picked out personally for him.
Oh, nice.
He got his pick of any car in the back lot, I guess, the rack of cars that they have, and he thought that one made sense.
I can see it.
Yep. And we get this long scene at the construction site where Columbo's really leaning into his absent-mindedness.
Yeah, he's asking everybody for a match.
Yep. And he notices that there's a cut on the cheek of the, which they'd already talked about.
Mm-hmm. Which I, a bit later when he's reading palms, I had forgotten why that was. I'm like, well, that's a weird scene.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about that. So, I mean, he's obviously, he meets Mr. Kennicott, the husband, and they have a nice little scene about, he says that his wife wasn't having an affair and she had a full, clean bill of health, as he calls it.
Mm-hmm.
Lieutenant, I want you to understand something. I married a woman young enough to be my daughter. A lot of people were skeptical, but it worked for us. We loved each other. We loved each other very much. We even thought of having a child. I want this man caught, and I must warn you, I don't intend to be patient.
Yes, sir.
And he's kind of pushing pressure on Columbo to solve the murder. Columbo then goes to his rather palatial house. They end up going inside, and this is where he meets Brimmer.
Mm-hmm.
And if Brimmer hadn't agreed to help...
If Brimmer hadn't volunteered to help...
Yes, he would never have been caught.
Because he would have been a suspect.
Right. And I still think it's a bit of a leap that Columbo says, well, you're wearing a ring, so therefore you must be my chief suspect. Because at this point, he has no idea that Brimmer was really involved with the wife at all.
Right.
He knows that he was working for Kennicott on something, but they don't say what.
Yeah, this is the sort of thing that becomes a bit of a trope in Columbo, because there's instances where, like, people will, you know, where the murderer will ask Columbo to investigate to try to allay suspicion. And it's like, mm-hmm. Well, that's a bad idea.
When I was watching this as a kid, my sister and I would always laugh about how it's like, if whoever the person's trying to be the most helpful is clearly the one who did it. Because yeah. But yeah, the palm reading light. Cause I too had forgotten about this. And I was like, since when does Columbo do astrology? And then it turns out it's just a ploy to see his hand and see that he has a ring on. He tries to leave the office through the closet, which is where he discovers the golf clubs that his wife has.
So now he knows about the golf lessons.
Right. And he suspects the golf pro is up to something, and turns out he's right.
Yeah, I mean, because the golf pro is clearly hitting on his other student there.
Correct.
I don't know how much golf balls cost today, but they apparently cost more than I thought they did, because 50 cents, it seems low, but not absurdly low for a golf ball.
How much is a sleeve of, because you usually buy them in box of threes.
Yeah. The only golf balls I have ever bought in like recent years have been the fancy ones that light up when you hit them. So that I don't have a.
So the first golf ball I saw online sells for $55 for 12.
Okay, yeah, golf ball. Okay, but like I'm looking. But
those
here,
are those are good ones.
You can buy. You can buy
a 15 pack for $11.99.
Right, yeah, now. That's what I'm seeing here. So, like, okay, so those 50 cent golf. There's some markup on those 50 cent golf balls then.
Yeah.
That's what I'm like. Wait a second. Because normally I'm used to seeing the absurdly low prices, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not.
Yeah, 50 cents or what does it say?
Or $5 for a dozen.
Yeah. Those are probably crappy balls that they found on the course, too.
Oh, yeah, probably. And even if they're not, they're balls that they certainly would buy in bulk for almost nothing.
Mm-hmm. And we see Brimmer's getting his team to go look after what he is probably planting his false clues.
Mm-hmm.
I like this one shot, though, where they have this map and then they shoot it through the map. So it's like a clear plexiglass version of the map that they shoot at them looking at it, I think is kind of cool.
Yeah, whoever did the cinematography for this certainly mm-hmm. was doing a lot of tricks.
Better tricks than the one episode with the strobe lights and stuff. Columbo comes in just to say he has no leads.
Yeah, except there's the cut, and it could be a ring.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yeah, but it must have been someone who was left-handed, just like Rimmer is, or Brimmer is.
To which point Brimmer takes the pen and puts it in his other hand. He's like, actually, I'm ambidextrous. I can write with both hands.
It doesn't change the fact that you have a ring on your left hand.
Nope. It does not.
But still, that is circumstantial at best. And he even does basically say, like, if he hadn't gotten Brimmer to break into the car, into the mechanic to check, to search for the contact in the back of the car, yeah, nothing would have. But yes, I do wonder, one, the potato in the gas pipe, two, the planted contact lens.
Yes.
Are these legitimate police practices that'll hold up in court?
No, okay. I don't think so.
And that's the thing, that we're continuing the trend of the only way Columbo actually gets a victory is by convincing the people to confess.
Mm-hmm. And that is a common thing that'll happen.
Yeah.
This is why this is why my wife can't watch the show. And she hates it.
Is she a lawyer?
Yes.
That's why then. Yeah, okay. That makes sense. Because, no, I'm watching this and I'm thinking my dad would hate this show because he's also a lawyer.
Okay.
Because, yeah, if they would just shut up and not. Yeah. Anyway. But that said, that is always a lawyer's advice to a client, is never volunteer information, you know, shut your mouth. But how often do clients follow that advice?
That is true. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and he knows that Brimmer has a beach house because he sees that the chrome on his car is tarnished from the salt air.
Yep. Which, again, is a bit of a stretch, but we'll go again, with it.
Yes.
There's a lot of leaps that he makes in this one, I think, that they make sense, but it also is something that can be explained completely in another way that isn't quite what you think it is. I like the golf pro shows up and gets in his car and Columbo's just sitting in the car waiting for him.
Smoking, no less.
Smoking in the guy's car. Which is even more offensive now than it would have been.
Yeah,
then,
I was going to say, could still. If someone I knew, even if it was a friend who somehow, for some reason, owned a key to my car, if I come out to my car and they're fucking smoking a cigar, I'm going to be mad.
Well, it's funny because he lights up his cigar and puffs on it. And then he's like, why don't we go take a walk? And then gets out of his car. Like, you couldn't have waited. That's just being a dick.
Yeah, and one of Brimmer's guys is watching them.
Yup. The guy with a crew cut.
Mm-hmm. Not quite a crew cut. No, he's got more hair than a crew cut.
Well, isn't he the guy, though, that they talk about having a crew cut, or is that a different guy?
This guy has definite hair.
Yeah. No, that's not him. That's a different guy. Okay. Oh, yeah, because Brimmer gets off the phone with him, and then he calls the crew cut guy.
Okay. So, yeah, Columbo talks to the golf pro, finds out, yes, they did have an affair, but they broke it off.
Yep.
And this is where he talks about that they were being followed by a guy with a crew cut. Yeah.
Yes.
Ex-Marine type.
Mm-hmm. And Columbo gets a tour of the Brimmer office, including the state-of-the-art computer room. It has more electrical impulses in that room than are in your brain. And I say, no. Thankfully, he's getting a tour by this loose-lipped guy here.
Yeah, the guy who was watching Columbo from the car, though, he kind of looks like person that I can most say he looks like. Well, he looks a little bit like William Shatner, actually, but also he looks like the guy who played Joe Carey on Star Trek Voyager.
A little bit.
But I can also see William Shatner because he's got like the curly hair of like William Shatner.
A little bit, yeah. Shatner has his own episode later.
Doesn't he have multiple episodes?
Yes, he has two.
Is he? And he's a murderer both times, I think?
He is. One time it's the like movie era William Shatner. And then the second one, it's like old William Shatner with like the short hair where he basically plays Rush Limbaugh.
I can see Shatner playing Rush Limbaugh. Doesn't feel like a huge stretch.
It also has this amazingly bad continuity with Shatner's mustache.
Oh, so George Kirk shows up?
There are times when it looks like more like George Kirk. Well, and here again, okay, so Brimmer yells at this poor guy, and it's like, again, if you had just not done that.
Yeah.
And he gets a very fancy lunch laid out for him.
Yep, that is, yes, that's quite the spread.
Canela Soul.
Yeah, this is definitely the same office, because it's that same carpet.
Yeah, it doesn't have the weird, like, painted doors, though.
That's true. And Brimmer offers him a job.
Which I find funny, because the whole episode is Columbo saying, I haven't found anything yet.
Yeah, but I think Brimmer can tell that Columbo is...
Oh, yeah.
Is definitely interested in him, so he's, like, trying to find a way to get him off the case.
Mm-hmm.
I guess this is a time before water bottle fillers, since the guy is just filling the pitcher from a regular drinking fountain here.
Yeah.
Which I feel like doesn't work well, because you're never going to be able to fill the whole thing. You're only going to get like halfway up before it doesn't work anymore.
Also, that's a coffee pot.
That is, in fact, a coffee pot. In fact, I think there's a scene where he pours coffee out of it. Like at the beginning when the husband comes in to the office. Yeah. Is he washing the coffee pot in the drinking fountain?
I hope not.
This guy I don't know why everyone reminds me of someone tonight, but this guy reminds me a bit of Topher Grace.
I was just thinking the same thing.
Okay.
He totally has a Topher Grace look to him.
I think the hair really adds to it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that 70s hair. It's a shame Kurtwood Smith was never on Columbo.
Yeah, that'd be cool. What are you doing, Columbo, you dumbass?
Yes.
You're going to accuse me of murder? Well, how would you like my foot in your ass? So then Columbo's just, you know, pushing a kid on the swings. Because that's not creepy at all.
Here's another scene that does not play as well now as it did, I guess.
I mean, the mother is concerned even then.
Yeah.
But, like, that's how you get tased today.
That's right.
Also, these are not ice cream bars. They are popsicles.
They are popsicles again.
There is no cream in these. These are frozen fruit whatevers. In fact, I think they are actually popsicle brand.
I think, well, they might have, yeah.
It certainly says pop. No, it's Twin Pop.
I mean, they're clearly real popsicles because that kid is going to town on his.
Yeah, Twin Pop. No, it's Twin Popsicle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's pop. It's Popsicle brand popsicle.
Because they used to come with two sticks.
Yeah, like that. Well, when they were the Twin Pop, certainly.
Yeah, yeah.
So it is literal. They are literally popsicles. They are not just. I am not using popsicle in the generic generic term where we use the brand name to refer to any frozen fruit juice on a stick, but they are literally popsicle brand popsicles.
Mm-hmm. And they are not, as Columbo refers to them, ice cream.
No.
Again. And maybe this is a dumb question and I missed it because I just was, you know, paid attention to something else when this. Do we know what Leo is doing?
No.
Okay. Because we see Leo getting a phone call from Brimmer and then they said he's leaving the country or he takes his passport or something. But I don't think we ever find out what he's doing.
I don't think so.
Okay. Like, I had it in my head that he was going to go murder the golf pro guy or something, but that doesn't happen.
But we are back at the DMV now.
Yep.
And at least at this time at the DMV, they wear badges on their chest, which I find interesting. It says examiner on it. So he wears a DMV examiner badge. That seems unnecessary for that position.
Columbo's standing very close to that woman.
Yes.
In line too.
Well, maybe Columbo can't see. So he's, you know, memorizing what she reads, making things up. But, you know, it could be.
And he sees the woman reading the eye chart, and then he's like, she wasn't wearing glasses when we found her, and she's wearing glasses in this photo. Turns out she was wearing contact lenses.
Also, apparently, he had to do a written test to get his
license renewed.
Is that a thing?
I mean, you have to take a license, take a test to get the license.
To get a license in the first place. And every state is different, obviously.
Yes. Yeah.
But that's certainly not a thing here. Once you've done the test once, they never ask you again here. I mean, it's not necessarily a bad idea to make people take a written test to get their license renewed.
No, and I think...
I don't hate that idea.
No, I don't hate the idea of making you take a driving test every so often, honestly, except for I don't want to do it, but...
I don't want to do it either. Because there's going to be also like, oh, well, you went 5 over the speed limit the whole time or something like that.
You parallel parked and bumped the cone, so you lose your license.
I would fail the parallel because the only parallel parking I do is in front of my house, which is on the left side of a one-way street.
So that works, that's right.
That works entirely differently than the normal parallel parking. Because it's the side that you're on.
Yep.
So it's a lot easier to
line
that up.
To line it up, yeah. Get close to the curb.
When I took my test, I did so much practicing at parallel parking before, and I've almost never used that knowledge. I mean, I'm sure you're in DC. You must parallel park all the time.
I do now, but before I did, I tried to avoid it at all, if at all possible.
Yeah.
But
like whenever I have to, it's like a 5-minute affair or something. Or probably not quite that long, but it takes longer than it should.
Yeah. Well, and especially here when you have a car, you have a space that's about the size of your car to get into.
Yeah.
And
so, yeah, I would not want to actually take an actual driving test. The first time I took my driving test, I failed because I didn't look to the direction that cars shouldn't be coming from.
Yeah.
And then like, it doesn't matter if cars shouldn't be coming from that direction, you still need to look. I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. Fine.
Fine, fair, I guess. Maybe. No, I passed despite the fact that the guy said I didn't look when I had to do my 3-point turn, even though I did. But
I didn't have to do one of those, thank God. I would fail. I am blessed with the tiny car so that in most situations where someone would do a 3-point turn, I can just do a U-turn. But if I can't, it's like a 6 or 7-point. The one thing is that like the conventional wisdom for parallel parking is that you pull until like half of your car is aligned to the car in front of where you want to park. And in my car, you pull so that all of your car is next to the car that you want to park.
Yep.
So I wonder what's going to happen to Columbo's license since he already got stamped, but he walked away.
Maybe he doesn't have a license for the whole.
Well, Columbo would never do that, though. Peter Falk said so.
True.
I honestly have no idea when my license expires. I assume it hasn't yet.
I would hope not.
No, I don't think so. I think it's another couple years.
It feels like one of those things like a passport that would be a real pain in the butt to have to get after it expired.
Yeah, probably. In my case, I have had the same passport or driver's license photo for an incredibly long time because when I got my license, Pennsylvania was not yet doing real ID. Mm-hmm. And then when they started doing real ID, you could pay a fee to upgrade to a real ID. And I did that. And that extended the expiration window.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And then a couple years ago, I accidentally threw out my wallet.
Oh, no.
And that's a whole other story, but I had to get a new license then. And that again, extended the photo on my license is from like 2015 or something.
Mm-hmm. Probably due for a new one soon. Well, I had the same thing. Like I had to get a real ID. that was a whole other thing.
Thankfully for me, because, as we said, I got my license later, all the information I showed to get my first license was enough to qualify for a real ID. So all I had to do was fill out the form and send them the money, and they just mailed it to me.
Well, you're lucky, because I remember having to dig up my Social Security card and all that garbage.
What's wild on that is a passport is a real ID. So yes, why do you have to show anything more than a passport? I know it's not enough, but why isn't it enough? Speaking of which, I am now checking the expiration date of my passport because I'm paranoid. And it was right here. My wallet is not in my pocket, so it's not right here.
But you didn't throw it away again, did you?
No, I know where it is. phew. Okay. My passport doesn't expire until 2029. We're good for a bit. Because I'm going on the cruise in February, so I need to get on that if it needed to be renewed. Although apparently it takes only a couple weeks most of the time these days to get a new passport. They still like quote you the like 1 to 3 months or whatever, but it actually only takes like 3 weeks.
Like, unless you're like traveling the next week, don't bother paying for the expedited stuff because you don't need it.
And if you do, and if you are traveling the next week, it's better to. I mean, I realize in parts of the country this is not an option, but it is better to drive to the nearest federal passport office and get it. Well, make an appointment online first drive to the nearest office and actually get it rather than doing the expedited by mail and hoping it gets in there in time.
Yeah, because I would only ever. I mean, it's easier for me, but
you can practically walk to the passport office.
It's like I have walked to the passport office, actually. Right.
Your passport office is probably the closest one to me.
And there's a couple. There's one in the Capitol building.
There might be one in Philly. I don't know. But at that point, D.C. is just as close.
I was going to say, is Philly?
No, D.C. is actually closer than Philly.
I wouldn't think so, no.
Yeah, D.C. is the – D.C. Baltimore and DC. Baltimore is about as close to me as DC is, but and I'm sure there's one in Baltimore too. But I would probably just go to DC.
Yeah,
and they let you take your own photo these days for it. You don't have to go to the post office and get a photo made.
No, you can get it at CVS or whatever. Or you don't even take it yourself.
Need to go to CVS. You can do it yourself.
Yeah,
I mean, the last time I did it, I went to CVS because they guarantee that it, you know, will get accepted.
Yep,
and they have this. It was wild because they pull down the smallest photo backdrop I have ever seen. It's like right next to the cash register. They pull this down. It's like this big.
Yep. and they always have like a camera from like 2003 that they take your photo.
Yeah. But they guarantee that it'll be accepted. So, you know, it's worth the, you know, $10 or whatever they charge for it.
Yeah, so Columbo's trip to the DMV gives him the idea that the victim was not wearing glasses when she was wearing glasses in a picture.
Goes to the husband. The husband's like, well, this isn't the gotcha you thought. She's been wearing contacts for a long time, which caused me to start Googling things because contacts are way older than I thought they were.
Mm-hmm. They've been around a long time.
The first like commercial use of contacts was in the 19th century.
Yep. When there were actual like pieces of glass that you put on top of your eyes.
Which is terrifying.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. Well, like those hard contact lenses that they used to do. You put in a little box and it would clean them. And
well, and that's what they have. I think that's what these are, aren't
they? These are, yeah, that's what they look like.
Yeah, because she's got the little box and they were empty because she was wearing them.
Which, okay. I don't know all the procedures involved in forensic medicine and undertaking and stuff, but you'd think they would have removed them.
And even if they hadn't removed them, they would have at least noted their presence when they did examine the body.
Right.
Yeah.
Because this is what gets Columbo to exhume her body.
Yep.
And then rush back and claim that one of the contacts is missing.
So now he's got the...
And I like Brimmer's first thought is maybe it's in the shag carpet.
Yep. Searching the carpet with a flashlight. Why did he roll the carpet up? I don't understand that part.
It, the contact is not going through that shag carpet, that's for sure.
Yeah, so now, yeah, and Columbo drops the final bit of his bait by coming and telling him about the... And I should say, we keep calling it carpet, but it is in fact a rug. It is not...
Yes, it is a shag rug.
Yes.
I think it's the same shag rug from the guy's bathroom in the first episode that we talked about.
I think it is the same shag rug from that guy's bathroom.
It really does look the same.
And Columbo drops all the juicy bait because, you know, the contact lens might be in the car or anywhere, so he's gonna go check his car.
Yep.
Which Columbo would never have gotten a warrant to search the car for the
No evidence whatsoever.
Right. Well, for one thing, it's not actually in the car anyway. There's a fake one that Columbo planted, which is also definitely not
okay.
I'm just impressed at the size of this trunk because he, like, to search it, his first reaction like climbing is to climb it. Inside. Yes, I
know. He's lucky that lid didn't come down.
Yeah. I bet this is before they were required to have release levers inside. And, yep, they've caught him.
I'm unclear as to why he had to break into the garage when it's his own building.
Is it his own building or is it just his own car?
Well... Maybe it's not, because they show the garage at one point that the Brimmer people use.
Yeah, but I don't think it's necessarily... Oh, no, because it says it's... It does. It says Beacons, I think.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, because he calls the guys like, hey, did you take my car to be serviced? Yeah.
And I get that this is to allow the maintenance of the underside of the car, but this trench seems like a dangerous thing to have.
Yes.
And that little, like, flimsy board that they keep walking across.
I would not walk on that board. Columbo just confidently walks across it.
Yeah, a couple times.
I mean, it makes sense, though, a trench under the car. That.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's why they usually put him up on lifts, right? Mm-hmm. So.
Well, yeah, he gets him to confess. Says it wasn't premeditated.
It was an accident, Arthur. It wasn't... premeditated. I hardly knew your wife. I didn't want to hurt either one of you. It happened. How'd you get it?
I got it from the cut on her cheek and your ring. You never should have let me read your palm. Because then I felt the ring and I felt the two diamonds sticking out in that raised rectangular border. That matched up with the cut on her cheek.
You should have taken that job.
That's all she wrote.
Yeah, and Columbo tells the story about how when he was a kid, they used to pull pranks by shoving potatoes into the tailpipes of cars to prevent her from starting. I like Kennicott kind of like going looking at the car like, wait a minute.
It doesn't cause any damage, apparently.
Nope. I don't know how you get the potato out.
It's an excellent question.
But anyway.
And does that actually prevent the car from starting? Or does it just fill the car up with exhaust?
Yeah, like, I was like, it would either suffocate...
Does it need to exhaust to work? Or does it need to exhaust to prevent it from, like, sending the fumes places you don't want them to
well,
be?
Well, it needs... I would imagine that it would prevent the explosive thing. Like, it would prevent ignition of the fuel. Because it would choke out the oxygen.
It doesn't get its oxygen from the exhaust pipe, though. It's
but the carbon monoxide and other stuff would probably back up into the engine cavity. Right?
Oh, okay.
It would be my guess. I'm not a car mechanic, but
yeah, fair. Neither am I.
I mean, it has to go somewhere.
Yeah. Okay. Things got to have a tailpipe.
Exactly. Got her Star Trek reference in there. Excellent.
Bet you wish you stood in bed. All right, and that's the end of Death Lends a Hand.
Yeah. Not bad.
No.
Probably the weakest of the four we've watched so far.
Yeah. Next week is Dead Weight.
Yes.
Which I do not recall from the... Oh, wait, is that the one with the boat in the... Is it like the guy with the lake house that then dates the... Yes,
dates okay. the person that sees the murder?
Yes. Yep. Okay, now I remember it.
There are some fun behind-the-scenes stories with that one, too, that we can talk about next week. Thank you so much for listening to us this episode. If you'd like to contact us, you can find us on Blue Sky at Podspiel, P-O-D-S-P-I-E-L. You can also find this episode and all back episodes of our show on our website, licensetospiel.com. That's license with a C. You can also find me on Blue Sky at Listening to Film.
And you can find me at Tyrannicus, that's T-Y-R-A-N-I-C-U-S. Well, do you have anything else to say about Death Lends a Hand?
No, I do not, actually. I think we've covered it pretty well.